It is that place in downtown Fresno where since 1955, Christ leads, people care, and lives have been changed. Welcome to Heartline, the weekly radio voice spotlighting the Evangel Home of Fresno. As I mentioned, since 1955, the Evangel Home ministering to women and children in crisis. Your Heartline host every week on the program is Jim Tuck. Here he is.
As always, Mr. Ken Adams, we appreciate your professional efforts on our behalf. You do such a great job taking our little conversation here in Jerry Brenneman's office and making a radio program out of it. And we know it's important to you because you care about what goes on here in the lives of these children of the King. And so, thanks again. Jerry, we have somebody back with us who was here a few months ago, and we're going to get a little follow-up visit. And before we do that, last time we just spent the last 20 seconds of the program we recorded talking about what's going on in the kitchen, which was really the focus of the fundraising efforts of the banquet. And boy, have we got good news.
We're starting our, remember we had three levels that night at the banquet, and the third level was our dream kitchen, was heaven.
Yeah.
And that was like if we got really a number of donations and we could finance it. It happened, Jim. It was just such a God-ordered event, I think, from that night when you did such an incredible job of asking the people to help us. And they responded that night with a lot of funds, which we kept. And then we've received a couple of large donations since September for the banquet. And so here we are now in middle of January, and I met with the contractor again last week, he and Cynthia and I. And we're off and running. He's drawing up plans. And you know, Jim, what is so sweet is, you know, Cynthia, and you just don't get better, more humble people. And we had talked about doing some work in the kitchen. And so when Robert came, the contractor, first thing that she said to him was, will I be able to get a new microwave? It was like, that was her dream at that moment.
Yeah.
And I remember standing there in the kitchen with her and saying, you know what, just walk around and whatever you want to do, ask if we can do it. Just dream as big as you can. And this now is beyond what she ever could have dreamed. We never would have dreamed of knocking out a wall.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things we're going to do to fix the traffic pattern.
It's a total remodel of the kitchen. And just a quick reminder, we had those three levels. One was non-negotiable. The range has got to go. One was relocating some furnishings within the kitchen. And then the heaven level was the total remodel because the traffic pattern in this house has always been the only way to get to the basement for all the supplies is through the kitchen. And it's worked, but it's pretty inefficient.
Yeah.
And so anyway, thank you to our listeners and the folks who have given to make this possible because it's going to be a real work of art. Yeah.
And Jim, I do want to say if anyone still wants to donate funds to it, we will designate anything that comes in still for the kitchen, even for ongoing things when we need food or we need some kind of equipment. So we have a fund for that. And also when we really begin serious work in February, probably. We're going to be displaced for a little while as far as meal preparation. We've got other facilities around here like the community room, kitchen, and the apartments. Cynthia can do some cooking there. But we are seeking groups or individuals, families that might want to prepare meals for us and bring them in. Anybody interested in that, please give Cynthia a call. We'll give our number at the end of the show. But that's one way to really help.
Okay, and we almost every program say, if you want to help, give us a call. We'll tell you how. How about some meal prep?
Yes, exactly.
All right, let's talk to our guest.
Our guest is Erica. And you and I both kind of teased Erica that she looks like she's in charge of the show. We could just give her the mic and let her go. And you know what? She is that way, Jim. And I don't know. Sometimes you look like you're in charge and you can get in trouble because everyone thinks you are in charge and you know what you're doing. So she's nodding, which means that's probably happened to her. I look like I'm in charge and know what I'm doing. And it served me well when I taught seventh grade because I had to fake it every day sometimes.
Yeah.
But because I looked like I knew what I was doing, I got through it. And sometimes I think the persona we project does help us get through or it attracts good or bad to us. And Erica does look like she knows what she's doing and she's in control. So I think for her, she's probably one of those people that people would follow because she looks like she knows what she's doing. It might be kind of hard for her to turn around because she looks like what she's doing. And she's not only turning herself around, she's probably got a whole bunch of people around her. She's got to turn around. So it's like anything, you know, our strengths become our weaknesses.
Yes.
And that now when God gets you, we want him to have our weaknesses. And I think we do our best work then. I'll use myself for an example again. Pride can get in the way of anything, and we always want to be right. Whether we defend ourselves or we tear down someone else so that we are right. I learned a couple of years ago my own little games I play to be right.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the most freeing things that God ever told me to do was just, hey, say you're wrong.
I was going to say, one of the most freeing days of my life was when one day I realized I don't have to be right all the time. It's not possible
exactly.
To begin with. Just admit you're wrong, and now let's go fix
yes.
it.
Yes, and I think when we can admit we're wrong, and we don't have to make a big deal of apologizing, because sometimes it really isn't even that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But saying I'm wrong really extends that bridge to the other person to walk, to meet. And so, yeah, that was one of those...
Yeah.
Sorry, the show's
aha
not about
moments.
Me, Erica.
Erica, we really are going to talk to you.
Okay.
You're in the garden. What was going on in your world? Just a quick reminder that Evangel Home became part of your present.
I came here in the end of July to the crisis home because of alcoholism. I wanted something different for my life. I was tired of the same hustle and bustle. I was just tired. My body was tired, just physically, emotionally, spiritually. I was drained. I came here, stayed here 5 weeks, and decided to go to the garden program. And the last time I was on the radio, it was right after the banquet. And I was very new to the program, but I already had the drive in me. And it has just grown tremendously since then. My relationship with the Lord has grown. I'm just comfortable here. I feel at home. I feel at home with everybody here. I just love the staff. They've always make you feel welcome. And just everything that I've learned here has really transformed my life. Mm. My family has definitely seen the change. My kids have seen the change. It's brought in relationships in my family so much closer. And it's just an amazing thing. That's all God, because I couldn't have done that myself.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, what was the genesis of the problem with alcohol? How far back does that go?
It runs in my family. But I guess I've always drank here and there since I was, 22, 23, but it just progressed. I had a lot of family court issues with my ex and with my daughter, and I lost my fight. I lost my will when I lost my daughter to him, and it was an scapegoat. It was a reason to stay drowned in my sorrows, so that's what I did, and it got old. I started feeling things, and even recently with the steps that we do here at the garden, we do the 12-step program. And a month and a half ago, I did my fourth step. And that was difficult. I had to search
what
within.
What is the fourth step? Let's tell people.
A moral inventory. Mm. You have to basically write down everything from your past, since you were a kid, your emotions, things that have happened to you, your feelings about different situations. You just really have to search within yourself to find the root of the problems. And it really makes you bring out your emotions and your feelings. And that's one of my things that I do not like to do.
Mm-hmm.
I like to cover it up with a smile or a joke or a laugh or at times with alcohol. So it was very hard to have those feelings and deal with them because they're real and they have to be dealt with, or I'm never going to get past that part of my life. Mm-hmm. So I'm now on my sixth step. So I made it through.
Awesome.
When, you know, those times when I was at the bar drinking, I thought, I'm never going to be better. I'm never going to feel better. I'm always going to have this sorrow. And it's like, you know, I'm not at the bar. I did go through that step. I did go through those feelings. And I'm still standing here today. So there is hope. There is a future.
Can I know how old you are?
33. I just turned 33.
Okay. So, and you've been sober how long?
I count my sobriety date as the day I went into the garden. I was here for 5 weeks, which I was sober, but I really count that day as my sobriety date because my mind was open, my heart was open. So I count that day as really the day I'm ready to be sober and move on with my life.
There was a switch.
Yes, definitely a switch. As soon as I went, it was just my mind, my thought process, everything changed, and it's just growing and getting better. I mean, we have our little bumps in the road on the way, but I can still stand here and smile and say, it's all of God. God did that for me, and He loved me so unconditionally that sometimes I can't even fathom the idea of that.
Wow. So your message would be, there is hope.
Oh, definitely.
There's somebody out there. And we always are concerned that God bring to the radio somebody who is where our guest was to hear the message of hope. Jerry, you were going to say?
I was going to ask Erica, because she was here in the crisis shelter for 5 weeks before going to the garden. Did you come in and have to be on a waiting list for the garden, or did you just decide after 5 weeks?
I came in thinking 28 days would be enough, that I would be good. I would be sober. I would find some clarity in my life. Things were just going to automatically change and do a 180 in 28 days. I got my first extension, so it lasted the 5 weeks, and it was actually the last couple of days that I had talked to Joe Janelle, the house manager, about going to Crossroads, and she said, that's not an option. And I was frustrated, and I was like, why is that not an option for me? She said, because that would be setting you up for disappointment and setting me up for failure, because it would be too easy for me to go and drink. I wasn't sober long enough, and at first I didn't understand that. I was like, she doesn't trust me, but, you know, she made the right choice.
So she was right?
Oh, yeah, she was right.
Now, at this point, do you feel like you're able to pull people along with you in your journey, or are you still pretty much buried in, I got to make Erica better?
I focus a lot on myself and making myself better, because that's my ultimate goal, is to fix me. But if I see one of my sisters in trouble or need some help along the way or just Bible study, we do that. But I don't try to give anybody advice, because that's not my job. My job is to fix me.
Yeah, that's exactly right. We've got about 30 seconds. Erica, bless you. It's good. And she is so put together. You look so attractive with the makeup and the hair and the attire, everything. She just looks like a professional woman who decided to stop in and say, I love volunteering at the Evangel Home. So anyway, it's a delight to get a little time with you, Erica.
Thank you.
What anything else our listeners need to know about where we are, what we need right at the moment?
I mean, we talked about the kitchen. So we go from the major to what seems kind of trivial. But in February, we have an event called Heart Sisters, and for several days, we do different gift exchanges. So if people can just bring us some small Valentine gifts so that the women who have nothing can still give something.
All right. And if you need more answers, give us a call, 264-4714, 264-4714. Thank you, Erica. Thank you, Jerry.
Thank you, Jim.
And thank you, my listening friends. We look forward to our next adventure here on Heartline from Evangel Home of Fresno.
Reach the Evangel Home by phone in the 559 area code 264-4714. Again, 264-4714. If you're online, and just about the entire human race is these days, find the Evangel Home at evangelhome.org. And please make it a point of joining us next time for the radio voice of the Evangel Home in Fresno, Heartline, the Evangel Home, ministering to women and children in crisis since 1955.